Our reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, starting to read at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
I'd like to start this talk today with an illustration that I borrowed from Tom Wright's book. It's called Paul for Everyone, The Prison Letters. I do recommend it. He talks about a time when he was at the seashore, and he was looking out to sea, and he was using a pair of binoculars, and he was scanning the horizon with these binoculars, and he saw a couple of ships. His friend who was with him had just bought an expensive telescope, and Tom said to his friend, "Well, was it worth the money?" And his friend gave him the telescope and said, "Take a look." And when he looked through this telescope, these two ships that he saw, he could see what their names were. He could see the people who were on the boats. And he looked beyond the two boats that he could see with his binoculars, and he saw all manner of other boats, including a cruise liner. He said it was as if a whole load of things were now there that hadn't been there before. Now, Paul is praying for these people, and we can pray for ourselves today to have a similar sort of experience. Most of us today, we believe in Jesus. We see something of him, but there's so much more that we can see. No matter how much we already see, God would give us a better telescope so that we can see more of the things that matter to him. Now, when we look at this prayer, I think it's important to see that Paul is praying for these people because he is already deeply encouraged by them. He says that in verse 15. The reason that he is praying is that he has heard about their faith, and he's heard about the love that they have, not just for each other, but for the whole of the church. And he's saying, "This is great. I can see clearly God is at work in you." But he's also saying to them in this letter, "I want you to take it to another level." You know, it's not that they've failed, it's not that they've sinned, they're doing well. But there's so much more that God would teach them. And as we go through this letter, and I hope we will be able to finish it after Easter, Paul gives them a whole load of instructions, a whole load of practical stuff. But first of all, he's saying, "I'm praying for you." Now, in last week's reading, we learnt that the purpose that God had in sending Jesus was to bring the whole universe to unity, to bring the world to unity, to break down all the divisions, all the barriers that there are. So Paul wants them, and he'd want us today, to have a big picture of that, a vision of the world so different to how it is just now. So he's saying to these people, "I can see that that is already happening in your church. I can see that divisions are being broken down. And I'm excited by that. So praise God today for every way in the church of Jesus Christ that barriers are being broken. Oh, we've got so much further to go, but what we already see is encouraging towards us. So Paul says for these people, I haven't stopped giving thanks for you, and I pray for you. So perhaps today, just take a moment to give thanks for the church that you've experienced. We're going to do a little exercise towards the end of this service that might help some of us to do that. But give thanks for the church. Give thanks for people, perhaps, who broke down barriers to befriend you. Give thanks for ways that you can see that people are becoming friends who might not become friends, were they outside the church. And perhaps as well weep for the places that we are not yet achieving what we should be achieving. Paul was brought up in this culture that he was a Jew and he was to separate from Gentiles. That's why he goes on so much in his letters about the fact that he now eats with Gentiles, that he's now prepared to accept lodging from Gentiles. God has done something deep in his heart. And it's not enough that we should understand with our sort of logical minds what God is doing. Paul is praying for these people to have a new experience of the Holy Spirit that is going to drive them forwards. Knowing God is not just knowing facts about God. The word to know in the Bible can also be translated as to encounter or to experience. He wants these people to have a greater encounter with God so that they will understand and be able better to live the way that God wants them to live. So he's praying to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we take direction from. And the glorious Father. Because the aim of the church is to bring glory to the Father. We're not interested, I hope, in people saying Mills Hill Baptist Church is a great church. Who cares what people think about Mills Hill Baptist Church? What we want people to say from what we are like as a church family is these people have a great God. These people have a glorious God. So he prays for the Spirit to move in these people. Now, he's already said in the reading we had last week that they are marked by the Spirit. I don't think that's an expression I hear much. I hear people talking about being baptized in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. But he says, when you believed in Jesus, he marked you. He placed his Holy Spirit on you. He marked you out as something special. And he's going to be going on to say in this letter that they are now to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this isn't a prayer for people who are failing. It's a prayer for people who already have the Spirit. The Spirit is already working in their lives, but he's saying, like, I want that Spirit to fill you to overflowing. And this Spirit, he says, is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It makes you wise as far as God is concerned, and it shows you things that you wouldn't otherwise see. Remember the illustration. Maybe at the moment we're looking through a cheap pair of binoculars, and God wants us to be looking through the telescope. So we are praying that we may know, it says, him better. Remember, to know, to experience, to encounter, that we will have a deep experience of God. So he prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened. We sang that song earlier, Open the Eyes of My Heart, and I love that song. But we also need to say, open the eyes of our heart. Don't just pray it for yourself. Pray it for the church. Pray it for the people who are around you. Because he says that as our hearts are enlightened, and the heart in Bible speak is your real core, it's your real center. He says you will know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy people. Now, please don't think that this is just about what happened after you die. Paul is calling them into a hope now. He's saying that God is going to do incredible things through his church, that the church has been called into God's plan. Hope for it, he says. Believe in it. Let God send his Holy Spirit to you, that you might believe in the things that God is doing. Oh, and he prays that we will know his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that's the same power, his wonderful, wonderful truth. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, Jesus didn't just have his spirit vaguely ascend up to heaven. Jesus, the Bible tells us, was raised bodily. Now, you might struggle to believe that today. You know, sometimes I think it's a bit far-fetched. But what Paul is saying here is, look at the level of power that God showed when he raised Jesus from the dead. And I'm praying for that level of power in you. Paul believes, he says elsewhere, in the God who raises the dead. When things go wrong for him, he always believes that God can turn it round. And he's raised the Messiah. He's raised the Christ from the dead. And remember, we are in Christ. He said that last time. And seated him at his right hand in the position of power in the heavenly places. These people knew about power. They knew about the power of the Roman Empire that crushed all things before them. They knew about a whole system of gods who people believed had power. And Paul's saying, look, I know this might stretch what you can believe, but what God has done in Jesus is the greatest act of power anywhere. And God can make that level of power be at work in you as well. That is worth praying for today. The lordship of Christ over his creation has begun, and it's the church's job to implement it. His name is above every name in this age and in the one to come. And so getting into the last couple of verses now, God placed all things under his head and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, he said, Jesus, Lord of everything. And he sends out his church as the advance party to announce that rule. God, it says in the last verse of our Bible reading today, is filling. Present continuous tense for those who like the jargon. God is filling everything in every way. And he's doing that through filling the church. We don't pray this prayer today because we want to feel good, although, hey, no problem in praying to God if you want to feel good. But we pray it because God has a plan and because his church is part of it. So this morning, we are going to pray what Paul prays here for ourselves. Just take a second to ponder that thought today. We pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened.